This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca here and Toby Halligan. And also in the studio is Tony Walker, the CEO of Ambulance Victoria. But our guest on the phone is Paul McIntyre. Paul hosts ABC Radio's Medical Matters, which I listen to. I love it. Welcome, Paul.
Yes, good morning.
Good
Thanks
morning.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, look, it's a pleasure. Now, this is a Medical Matters is a program that the ABC have. How long's it been going? It seems to me quite a while.
Yes, well, I've been working on Medical Matters since 2015, and certainly when I decided to be part of the program, one of the things that was really important to me was to, I guess, get the word out there about dementia and help understand it, because my mother was diagnosed with dementia in 2011, and there were a lot of people in my family who kind of blamed her for getting the condition. And the more I researched into it, the more I sort of tried to understand what my mum was experiencing, the more I realised that it's such a complicated condition, and there was really very little understanding about it, be it in the community generally, and even within families who had parents or grandparents who had the condition.
And what we all need to remember, Paul, is we're all going to be old, or all of us potentially, you know, will get dementia. My father always used to say, you shouldn't make fun of old age. It's a privilege that may be denied you. But you've written a book, Use It or Lose It, and we're talking about your mind and your health. What was the inspiration for that, Paul?
Certainly my mother being diagnosed with the condition was something that inspired me. But also when we talk about the condition, about dementia, it doesn't necessarily follow that everyone will get dementia. Certainly one of the biggest risk factors is the more birthdays you have. The older you get, the more likely you are to contract the condition. Another major factor is genetics, something you can't do anything about. But they believe that up to a third of dementia cases could actually be prevented by modifying your lifestyle. So by having your blood pressure checked, so keeping that under control, participating in things like adult learning and volunteering. Also, one of the surprises that came out of the research was that something like midlife hearing loss, they think, contributes to dementia. Something like, I think it's about by 9.2% of the modifiable causes is attributed to midlife hearing loss.
That is that's fascinating. This is Toby here. I actually, one of my first jobs when I was 19, while I was at university, was in a dementia ward in Canberra. And I was interested, just to take one step back, with what you were talking about in terms of family members attributing blame to your mother. Like, I know as a disease, it exerts such a huge toll on family and on friends, like seeing family members come in and basically trying to engage with someone who had been such an important part of their lives. And in some cases, it depends very much on the course of disease. Sometimes people kind of almost seem to go back to different stages of their lives. There were people who had learned English and then reverted back to speaking the language they learned as a child. Some people seem to almost have completely different personalities. In the case of your mother, why was there that blame? How do people explain that?
Well, I happened to be away at the time in state. My partner was working in Canberra, and we got the message that Mum seemed to be drinking a little bit too much. And anyway, we sort of came back and I saw Mum, spoke to her. We took her to various geriatric psychologists to look into it. And what the result was that rather than her drinking too much, which is where the blame came into it, what the psychologist thought was happening was that, because Mum might have, you know, Mum would say, well, look, I've only had two glasses of wine, when it was fairly clear she'd had one or two more. But what was happening, because she had the early stages of dementia and it was undiagnosed, she thought she was having two glasses of wine. But because of the condition, she was actually having more, but she hadn't realised it. And there were certain members of the family who thought, oh, she's drinking, she doesn't deserve any help, when in actual fact, she didn't even realise that she was having more than two wines. And it's sort of, yeah, the difficulty sort of snowballed from there, if you like. And so when the family didn't really listen to the advice of medical experts. Right. And, so there was a bit of a rift in the family, if you like. But there didn't seem to be this willingness for them to understand that she couldn't help, obviously, having the dementia, but the dementia was affecting things like drinking because it had gone undiagnosed.
Is it, Paul, it's Macca again, is the age that dementia is starting to become more prevalent or people are being affected by it, is that age coming down?
Well, the interesting thing is that experts now, particularly when it comes to diet, I mean, should be looking at your diet, you should be looking at physical exercise, you should be looking at putting all those sort of things in place so that when you reach 70 or 80, you're actually prepared and doing all the things that they think contribute to preventing dementia. One really interesting aspect of the findings of the research is something called cognitive reserve, and they think that one of the causes of dementia is lack of education when you're younger. And how that works, and if you left school in year 7 or year 10, there's no need to panic because there's lots of other factors as well. And again, this is one of those modifiable factors because you can do adult learning. But what they think is that, say, you go to university, you study ancient history. For instance, I love ancient Rome. So say you study everything about ancient Rome, the first emperor Augustus, you study Punic Wars, so the war between Carthage and Rome, you learn about the economic policies under Tiberius and so on.
Oh, I love all this that stuff, I've got to say, Paul. Sorry to interrupt. I'm an ancient Rome fan too.
Right.
I won't interrupt anymore.
Oh, very good.
I love very the Punic Wars.
I was going to say we can talk about that later. So you learn in regards to Punic Wars, for instance, how Rome didn't really have a navy before they fought Carthage, but they were able to capture a boat from Carthage, took it apart, and basically did an IKEA and manufactured their own navy.
Reverse engineered it, yeah.
Got a navy. And that stuff. So you learn all that. You learn all these fascinating stories. You learn all the different characters. You do your exams. You've got it all in your brain, of course.
Sorry, Paul, I think we might have lost you there.
You're still in the public service.
Yeah.
You might open your own business. You might work in a post office or a bookshop. You've still got all that knowledge in your brain. You might go to a quiz night where there might be a question about, you know, who was the second emperor of Rome. You might have dinner parties where you come up with amusing stories. But it's all in your brain. You then reach 70 or 80 and dementia sets in. But what they think happens now, particularly for people with a higher education, is that knowledge, if you like, that's stored in the brain, acts as a buffer. So rather than the dementia eating away at the things that you need to function on a daily basis, such as how to drive a car, how to look after your garden, working out what's a weed and what's a flower, the dementia is eating away at that cognitive reserve. So it's actually protecting you against the dementia coming out in your everyday life. And the reason they know this is because people in their 70s and 80s who have had a high education, they've x-rayed their brains after death, they've examined the brains in an autopsy,
And they found that these people in their 70s, 80s, 90s had had dementia, but it hasn't displayed. Mm. And the conclusion that they've come to is that all that knowledge, everything they learnt, acted as a buffer.
Right.
Of course, you do hear cases of people who have had high education and still got dementia, which is, of course, where things like genetics come into play. And there are other factors such as depression and social isolation that also come into play. But for the most part, again, we're looking at a third of cases. That's something that you can fiddle around with. And even though there's a little bit of a question mark over whether adult learning results in the same cognitive reserve, they think very much that it most likely does, which is why they really encourage things like adult education or going back to uni after you finish work. Learning a language, composing is another really bizarre activity, which they think is fantastic for preventing dementia, which is very specialised, but certainly learning an instrument, if you don't know how to write music, learning an instrument is another really good thing. So we're talking about complex brain activity, essentially.
So keeping physically well and mentally active is one of the ways that you can help, I suppose, reduce the onset of dementia. Who's the publisher of the book, Paul?
The publisher of Penguin.
Yep.
And it's very much, and I'm glad you mentioned the physical aspect, because the book isn't solely on dementia.
No.
It's essentially about positive aging. So to all the things we can do, not just to prevent dementia, but just make the most of life as we get older. And along with physical activity and keeping the brain active, another really major part of it, well, two major parts of it, is actually enjoying whatever it is you're doing. So if, for instance, you're 65 and you're still at work and you love it, then it's a great idea, if you can, to keep going with it.
Yeah.
Because if you're enjoying it, it's beneficial. On the opposite side of the coin, if you're 65 and you really don't like work, then leaving is fine. So long as you have other things that you're passionate about and that you enjoy about. And even with physical activity, if you exercise and you absolutely hate it and it stresses you out, then that's probably, possibly, doing you more harm than good. So the thing is to find a physical exercise that you enjoy. And alongside physical exercise and brain activity, staying social is really important too, because there was a study recently, I think, that found that loneliness is the equivalent of smoking something like 15 cigarettes a day.
Mm. Look, I absolutely encourage people to have a look at this. It's called Use It or Lose It. And, of course, we don't often promote other radio shows, but Medical Matters on ABC is a great program. Look, thanks, Paul. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your work. And I wish you happy sales with the book.
Thank you very much for having me.
Been a pleasure.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.